Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yellow from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing addition, and rappers are coming up, get them put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on screen and follow up with us.com. All of your needs, production and mixing, a master and graphics, just download it all. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Plenty of content and unities, do everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
I'm
talking
about what we brought up, it's we represent. All them chillers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans. Motherfuckers wanna hate, do your thing, you keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm, come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a madman.
Yo, 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 check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yellow from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C. Murray.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
Yo, 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 check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yellow from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C. Murray.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing addition, and rappers are coming up, get them put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on screen and follow up with us.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing, a master and graphics, just download it all. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Plenty of content and unities, do everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
We got the
boys,
we brought up, it's we represent. All them chillers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans. Motherfuckers wanna hate, do your thing, you keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm, come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a madman, going crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's beauty, it's some light dog, hip hop, AD, represent for the legend, rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss, it's a murder man.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Murder Master Music Show, episode 591. Tonight is a special episode unlike no other because normally, you know, you hear a bunch of tracks and we chop it up about, you know, different subjects, but and we got an author in the building tonight, you know what I'm saying, who's going to actually read different parts of this amazing book, you know what I'm saying. It's the history of Sacramento Rap, the Rise and Fall, 1982-2009. I'm talking about First Degree, the D.E. He's gonna read some of this book, and I want you to support this book and go out there and get it. Before I bring him on here in a second, I just want to read to you a little bit about him just in case you've been sleeping. First off, he's been doing his thing, rap and putting out albums since 92. You know what I'm saying? Over a quarter century deep, 80 albums. That's an amazing discography right there. 80 albums, over 100,000 units sold independently. Not only that, you know what I'm saying, the man is a school teacher. You know what I'm saying? He teaches math. He's also a community leader and a very, very unselfish person because he documented the history of his hometown, meaning the history of Sacramento. He included all the greats going back to the 80s. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have him talk about it. He also included, know what I'm saying, yours truly, and people outside of Sacramento that kind of fucked with the scene over the years. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be people at different labels, different artists such as, Mac Dre or whoever. You know what I'm saying? They're in this book. You need to check this out. Again, it's the history of Sacramento Rap, the rise and fall of 1982-2009. Let's bring on First Degree to D.E. D.E., how you doing, brother?
All praise due to the Fahrenheit Schnee. It is the Schnee that brings us in. All praise due to the Fahrenheit Schnee. It is the Schnee that brings us purpose. Praise be, I'm back. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's a huge honor, man. I truly want to thank you for not only including this show in the book, but also including Murder Dog Magazine in the book, because Murder Dog was one of those spots that or platforms that really went in depth, and we always love to cover the artists of Sacramento, as you know, and you documented that in this book. I really appreciate that, man.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I did all my research, did a little research, put it all together. Spent time on angles, put it out there, and people thanking me. It's me and us thanking y'all for being part of history. That's the funny thing. It's like, I'm underground getting credit for this. It's not me. This is y'all. So thank you for being a part of history of the town.
It's an honor. It's a huge honor. Huge honor. Because Sacramento is one of those places, it's well documented in this book, it's just full of talent and influence. I mean, we always used to say, who put Shaq on the map? Matter of fact, Murder Dog put out a compilation years ago with Hollis, who put Shaq on the map. And it goes deeper than just, the early 90s. This goes back to the early 80s.
That's right. At
the same time, Run DMC was out there doing their thing. The Fat Boys, Curtis Blow, those people in Sacramento doing their thing, man.
That's right. It's fascinating. When you go deeper and deeper, and it's like more and more fascinating.
When you were coming up, before we had you read out this book, I just want to ask you a couple questions. When you were coming up, were you actively listening to the music, in Sacramento? Were you listening to those early songs and then, like Triple Threat, DC Ray? Were you checking out that stuff?
I thought I was listening to early songs. But, with the Young Dre D and the Homicide, I fought until I got a little more learned it. And then I learned all about DC Ray, And so, no, I wasn't bumping a Triple Threat 3 at the time. So it was a learning experience for me, too, which was fun. It made me just put more and more energy into the project and get in front of the computer and type. And it was just the energy was learning, and the necessity of how it needs to get out to the people, the story. Because if we don't write our own story, it'll get written for us and it'll be way obscured.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's exactly, man. And you being one of the, I always considered you as one of the pioneers because you were out at the same time as X-Rated, Lynch, a little before SIBO. And like I said at the beginning of the show, you put out over 80 projects, what gives you that type of longevity? What gives any of you guys in Sacramento that type of longevity? Every one of y'all got a crazy discography. 80 albums, 70
albums.
That's
true.
How is this possible?
I would say the number one is independent gift for the gathering slab of meat. You got to be independent. You got to be producing your own product. And that's with anything. That's with anything. If you're creating your own product, and it's a good product, getting it out there, it's going to keep me. That's like E-40. He owns his own thing. Because if you're on a major, they have expectations. They're going to give a budget to the project. And if the album is under, expectations, you're cut. And then a lot of them don't know what to do. You just got to just create a product, get it out there, and let the universe react.
And that's what you guys did. This is a phenomenal book. How long was this something that you worked on? Was it something you started recently, or did it take a couple of years? Or?
Yeah, I wrote it as a blog at first.
Okay.
And it was like a three-part blog, and this is maybe like 3-4 years ago. And it went semi-viral. So I put an ad on it, and it did all right. I was like, well, people, you know, care. And then it became like a popular Google search term. So I was like, actually, my dad had written a book, and he, after 20 years, he finally put this book out. And so he kind of inspired me to go ahead and just write the book.
Yeah. Like you said, you know, the history has to be told by one of the people that's been there and been consistently putting out music. So, man, if anybody was to write this book, I would nominate you, man, because you did it perfectly. You know, so hands off to you, man. And this, what I really like about it too is it kind of opens up the door for another one. You know,
yeah.
So that we can, I assume we can look forward to that in the future as well.
That's going to be the next, because this one details the very, very, very beginning up until the fall, which is around, you know, mid-2000s. But as we all know, it's been a reinsurgence now for the last decade. So the next one's going to be like 2010 to 2020. Yeah, that's right. It didn't sound like it. That's right. So life has to happen a little bit. You know, I'm watching. I got the site, SacramentoRap.com. You know, I use that to stay abreast, you know. And Steve hit me up on that. They don't know it's me, but, they hit up the site. Because when you Google Sacramento Rap, the site comes up first. So I'm starting to turn into like a little mecca, you know, a little mecca for the Sac Town. I was reading the Murder Master part. You guys are almost approaching 600 shows, man. The one thing about the book that's a good, it's a living, breathing document. So last night I had, that's a little something I had to change in the book. You guys are approaching 600 shows. So now it says approaching 600 shows. So I had to apologize on that one, man.
No. That's no problem, man. I'll tell you what, it was an honor to be mentioning there, not only for my work with Murder Dog, but also the show, because since Murder Dog's no longer around, we're trying to continue that type of format, you know. And
you are. You absolutely are.
Oh, yeah, most
definitely. It's more on demand what you're doing, and it's more globally accessible. So I love it, man. You already know how I feel about it. You already know I've known you since you writing from way back in the day. But just this, what you're doing now, is astounding.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate that. And I wouldn't be doing it if there wasn't cats like yourself out there continuing to put out dope projects and books. You know, you can add author to your resume now. So congratulations on that. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to shut up for a minute. I'm going to let you read some of this book, man. Just feel free, man. I'm going to be silent. Do your thing, brother.
Okay. I recently had a book reading at Underground Books in Oak Park, which is like our Harlem out here in Sacramento. Hmm. And we just had Al Sharpton at the Guild, which is right next door, and we're discussing all that, so we'll get to that. That was my first book reading. This will be my official second ever public book reading. So, biggity bam. This is The History of Sacramento Rap, The Rise and Fall by Michael Cohen. Before there was rap, there was dance. In the late 1970s, while hip hop was being created at block parties in Brooklyn, Sacramento had break dancers. This was a time that created funky fresh clothing, pop locking, electric keyboards, boom boxes, heavy drum tracks, and other roots of the hip hop culture. This era eventually gave birth to the Breakin' movie series, Crush Groove, and many more. During this time, East Coast rap pioneers were creating a genre, defining a culture. Their messages were about fun, respect, and what's going on in the hood. To be king of Sacramento during those days, you had to not only know how to pop, but survive and control a dance battle. The main DJ in town was DJ Daryl Dennis. He was known for pumping up local events. DJ Daryl was the local star. That was until the Triple Threat 3, which was Raymond D.C. Ray Haskins, Mike C. Caraway, and Bruce Captain K. Knight hit the scene. They were rapping. For the record, D.C. Ray was the first Sacramento rapper, and the Triple Threat 3 was the first Sacramento rap group. D.C. Ray and the Triple Threat 3 started around this time. South Sacramento, already known for its dance battles, also became known for its intense rap battles as well. Burbank was the main battle spot. MCs were heavier, was coming down, reflects D.C. Ray on Karen Heights Radio's Karen Heights Hour Urban Talk Show. Eventually, Sacramento's unique hip-hop style was on display in alleys, house parties, DJ parties, high schools, style rap. It was pure urban expression. It was the stuff that created what Sacramento is now known for, hard-edged, in-your-face reality music. When the dust settled, you see Ray and the Triple Threat 3 became our Sac Town representatives. They were 16. During DC Ray's 2015 appearance on Fahrenheit Radio's Fahrenheit Hour, First Degree the DE mentioned a Rakim show and story they were writing for Fahrenheit Insight. "I was before Rakim," includes DC Ray. "Back then, you had to sell your music out the trunk like Tooth Short," remembers DC Ray. Before digital downloads and streaming, before the presence of independent distributors, before it became easy to get your music to the public, they were selling music out the trunk. Selling music out the trunk is a term used by independent artists, meaning selling music directly to the consumer, face-to-face, on the street, at shows, or at other events. In time, face-to-face music sales will be one of Northern California's rappers most salient, of Tower Records, Dylan Radakovic of Dimple Records, and Saeed Balance Crumpler of Rasputin Music in the Bay made it possible for independent artists to take their music from the trunk to the stores. In 2007, world-renowned London-based writer Brian Bartholomew traveled to the United States to do research for his rap documentary, Feel Me Before They Kill Me. For his project, he traveled the entire U.S., meeting MCs from different regions along the way. It was amazing how Brian was able to come from a foreign land and top it up with so many rap stars. At the end of his trip, Brian interviewed Northern California artists and noted that the independent spirit is at its peak here in Northern California. One of Sacramento and the Bay Area's greatest gifts to America's music industry was demonstrating the will to bypass the major labels and go independent. The more common practice was to sit around and beg major labels to sign you. Nowadays, selling music independently is common. Brian Bartholomew died before finishing the documentary. Once DC Ray became the king of urban sack, the buzz exploded past our Sacramento borders and reached the Bay Area and eventually Los Angeles and New York. It was at this time that Russell Simmons, Def Jam Records, and new rap group Run-DMC were exploding on the East Coast. Let's get one thing clear. Rap as we know it originated in New York City. In the 1970s, pioneers like DJ Hollywood, DJ Kool Herc, DJ Red Alert, Grandmaster Flash, Afrika Bambaataa and the Soul Sonic Force, the Furious Five, and others changed the world with their rhythmic rhyming, urban swag, and breakbeats. Without the block parties and hip-hop evolution in the boroughs of New York, there would be no Sacramento rap. Inspired by the success of one of the first rap songs, Rapper's Delight by Sugar Hill Gang, Queens native and college student Russell Simmons teamed up with MC Eddie Chiba and Curtis Walker, a.k.a. Curtis Blow, to make a move. 1979, Simmons and Curtis Blow recorded an independently released Christmas Rapping. It was a hit. The hip-hop being created at the time was an urban, revolutionary expression that was just waiting to bust out the scene. Simmons' next step was to partner up with Rick Rubin and form Def Jam Records. Def Jam was off and running with their first release, 16-year-old LL Cool J's I Need a Beat. By 1982, Simmons' younger brother, Joseph Simmons, formed a hip-hop group with Daryl DMC McDaniels and Jason Jam Master J. Mott Mizzle. In 1984, Run DMC released Run DMC, and the album went on to become the first rap album to be certified gold, which is 500,000 units sold. Run DMC decided to take their block party on the road. That road led to Sacramento, and in 1983, DC Ray and the Triple Threat Three, Houdini, and Run DMC did a show at the Second Level in Sacramento. It was Sacramento's first big rap show. A 13-year-old Kevin Brother Lynch Hung Man was front row. Other local up-and-coming MCs was in the building as well. Attention of Russell Simmons. After the show, Russell Simmons told the Triple Threat 3 crew about their new label, Def Jam Records. Although the Triple Threat 3 had heard of Run DMC and LL Cool J, Def Jam Records itself was a mystery to the crew. Everything was so fresh. Everything was so new. Simmons' pitch to the three was that Def Jam was becoming the biggest label in New York. Later that night, Russell Simmons offered the Triple Threat 3 a contract. This was it. Signing with a nationally renowned record label was any MC's dream. However, to move to New York, they had to decide that night. When reflecting on history, there are a few moments that shape the future as we know it. In this book, there are about five moments that carve the course of Sacramento rap history. Russell Simmons offering the Triple Threat 3 this record deal was one of them. The Triple Threat 3 discussed the offer within themselves. Two of the Triple Threat 3 members, DC Ray and Captain K, were in. One, Mike C, was out, fighting the mystery of Def Jam Records, their age, 16, and the distance. At the time, Def Jam was still an up-and-coming label from a coast far away. Since the members of the Triple Threat 3 were a group, they stuck together and declined Def Jam's offer. On the Fahrenheit, First Degree and DC Ray reflect on how the Sacramento rap game could have been much more had they gone to New York. In time, DC Ray and the Triple Threat 3's battle-proven style, grit, and lyrical emphasis had made its way to world-renowned executive producer Cletus Anderson in Los Angeles. In the 1980s, Cletus Anderson had purchased Saturn Records and was looking for a new sound to hit the market with. Cletus had made his fame with his VIP record stores in Long Beach, California. 1983, Saturn Records signed to Triple Threat 3 and went on to work on their first single, Scratch Motion. To record the album, Cletus put the Triple Threat 3 in a hotel on the Hollywood Strip. While recording Scratch Motion, this in mind, Cletus Anderson reached out to a local Compton group called the World Class Wrecking Crew. The World Class Wrecking Crew wasn't a rap group. They were more of a street pop dance group. In fact, the acting manager of the World Class Wrecking Crew, Alonzo Williams, famously hated rap. Their claim to fame was rocking big parties in the L.A. area, changing the game. Although the leader of the World Class Wrecking Crew hated rap, the young DJ loved it. He was an up-and-coming factor named Andre Young. Behind Alonzo's back, Andre was experimenting with the sounds of hip-hop and secretly planning his own takeover. Andre Young would eventually name himself Dr. Dre. In 1984, Dr. Dre teamed up with the Triple Threat 3 on Scratch Motion. Dre was on the Scratch. Yes, the Dr. Dre scratches on Sacramento's first rock record, Scratch Motion. There were records, they were in stores. Sacramento had representatives in the game much earlier than we are aware of. You guys still there, right?
Absolutely, man. I'm in awe because I mean, you're tying in history with so many other parts of the country directly to Sacramento. That's just amazing.
It is fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, Dre was...
All at the same time as going on is like what ends up happening with these people and crazy.
Yeah, because you look at the what if factor, too. There's so many possibilities. Like you're talking about, what if they had went to New York? What if they had hooked up with Dre and did more music? You know,
Oh my goodness.
Abilities are endless.
Just those two right there. If they would have gone to New York with Run-DMC, Sacramento and Run-DMC, that would have changed everything.
Yeah.
And like you said, with the Dr. Dre, and, you know, this is when Dr. Dre was still making his connections, you know. But you know what is what is. The universe... I only translate, not control the universe. So whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen. All we can do is try to catch up, document it, learn from it, move forward.
This is also proof too that people have known about Sacramento for years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And some of the biggest people have shaped the industry too. So that's history right there for you guys listening right now. We're trying to get DC Ray on the line, you know, saying we're having technical difficulties tonight, so
okay.
We're hoping
he called
come through. No, we actually tried calling him, you know what I'm saying. For whatever reason some people can't get through. I noticed the homie Sin from France, he did get through. You know what I'm saying? We'll bring him on real quick while we're waiting for DC Ray, and we'll chop it up with
Excellent.
Him.
I remember him.
Yeah, this guy, man, he probably knows music that you did that you don't remember.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Scott. What's up, Fred the Greed, the legendary Zach Tom legend. Fred the Greed, the GE.
Oh, yeah.
Red with it.
Yes, sir. Yeah. can you tell us about the song you did back in the day, I'm Not Welcome Here, on the Big Bad Bat album? It was a crazy song.
You know, it's a trip that, you know, you put out all these songs. My brother Presby was saying, you know, it's 80 albums. So 80 times 15, 8 times 4, 90, 900. Well, no, it's not 900. It's a lot of some of the songs were like collections of the Whoopi Whoopi was there. So, but anyway, the song, it's a trip to hear what songs touch people the most. You know, I just did a show in Fresno, and I was just I went by myself and just talking to people. And it's the songs that I just didn't care and just took a risk on. It was something that just needed to be said. I didn't think about any kind of song structure or how a song is supposed to be. And I'm not welcome here, definitely in that category. That song was about just feeling like, you know, not welcome there. You know, it could be in society, on a societal level, or it could be in a relationship. You know, but inside it's like, I know this to be true. It's like you know it. So that's one of my favorites. And it's just, and you know, the songs that stand out, I've learned through the years, are the songs that you just do it and it's just, you tell how you feel about something personal and real to you. But I appreciate
you were the first rapper in Sacktown to sing like gospel. I think about D-Dub too. But you was the first to go in this way. Can you tell us about it?
Who was the first? Who did you say was the first?
Repeat that, Sam. What was that? Send you that?
I thought he said Zeebo. Oh, maybe he was saying that he liked. He had heard first.
Hello?
My first, when I was like, you had asked me about who I had was listening to when I was like a kid. My first Sacramento rapper that had made it was Homicide. My man Ace Mac had known it was from Seaport. It worked.
Yeah, we got, the thing that I really like about the book, too, is, you know what I'm saying, you talk about the history of the artists, you know what I'm saying, but also the labels. Everybody knows Black Market Records. Not many people realize that the first project from Black Market was a DC Ray single.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
You're right there. I know I was going to ask that too. DC Reagan, come online. He's having difficulties with his phone.
That was a surprise.
Cassette only release. Now, when did you find this out?
The book. I mean, right, doing my own research. You know, because like I just said, I thought Homicide was like the first said project.
Yeah.
And that, like, to your point, you know, everybody knows about Brother Lynch and artists that, but behind a Brother Lynch, the reason you know a Brother Lynch was because, you know, you'd walk in the, one of his great artists, obviously, you know, with great skill and unique. And another reason, though, is you walk in the Black Market office back then, there's 15 people working. You know, and so the book was about behind the scenes, too. For example, I had to do a little jailhouse interview with Bobby Keith, the owner of AWOL. And he gave me a little bit. You know, I hadn't met him, so he, you know, wasn't going to spill all the whole through it. But he gave me enough, and it just gave me that feeling like, put back to that era. And one thing I learned about talking to all these people from that era, the whole point of the book is when people were working together, you know, the movement was spreading because it was a force, a combustible force. Everybody was working together. It wasn't until, you know, the Lynches started leaving the Black Markets, the SIBO started leaving the AWOLs, the First Degree to DE started going too far, and then, you know, and then it started, and it created the fall. You know, we had Bueno, who was doing it another route, more of a commercial route. Shout out to Bueno and the Gatlin. Time, it was the fall, because everyone thought they could do it themselves.
Yeah.
You know? And you can't.
It wasn't the unity, you know what I'm saying, like there should be. Like the case in so many other cities across the country, unfortunately. But this right here, you know, I commend you for stepping up to the plate and doing this, because you're documenting the history of everybody involved. You know what I'm saying? You're not, many people would just put themselves in there. No, you're documenting everybody's history. Very unselfish of you to do that. Have many of the people, you know what I'm saying, like the X-Rateds, the Sebos, the Lynches, and all the other guys, have they had a chance to read this book and give you any feedback?
It's trickling out there. It's definitely trickling out there. I'm meeting new people. Like, I just gave a Gatlin a shout out. I did research on him. I had known his dad from back in the whoopty whoop. And then just as when he started blowing up, he's my favorite new sack artist. Like, man. But when he was blowing up, it's like, man, he was familiar. And then it turned out I was running with his dad when I was young. But it's like, I had to learn about, you know, him and do research on him. And so I finally connected with him and, you know, got the mess. So it's trickling out there. You know, the people are, it's my favorite, it's one of my favorite things I've ever done, because I ain't social. You know, I ain't social. I'm not on the Twittergrams. I mean, I'm on the Twittergrams a little bit and the face chats, and I'm in, you know, I'm not, that's not me, so,
yeah, me,
you know, I gotta be more, I'm trying to be a little less social,
yeah,
but, yeah, it was fun to get to know these people, and, you know, and document the history, you know, this is my favorite project, because I don't like, hey, please listen to my music, I don't like getting people to listen to my music. I just put it out there, and, you know, I'm not the best of merchants, you know, so, but with this, I'm not selling myself. I'm selling something I believe deep in my heart needs to be told, the story of, you know, our story. So
yeah.
If I have a brand new energy, it's like you were saying, author, when you said that, it still kind of makes me laugh, but, you know, being author is a new energy.
Hell of a book, and I hope you write more, man. I really do. You know, you definitely got the knack to captivate, you know, with this book. Now we're gonna have you read some more here in a minute, and I'm actually gonna go to the song here in a second. But Sin just messaged me. The question he wanted to ask you was, you know, what I'm saying, the first Sacramento rapper to sing in a way of gospel. Like D-Dub, how he got the idea. I believe he was referring to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Were you the first to sing in, like, a gospel type of way? Sin, are you there? I got you, Sin. Did I give you a question right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That, yes, sir. How we got the IG to sing like gospel or way?
I would say that, you know, I've been in choirs all my life and just developed my own way of singing. I appreciate bringing attention to that. But I would say the first song that gave me the confidence, not the confidence, but it was just like, let me know you could sing on a rap song and it'd be, you know, cool, was Welcome to Your Own Death by Brother Lynch on Season of the Sick. I was like, is that him singing? You know, I had put out Southbound, and I was like, I have a singing song on that. But there was something about, I got a sneak copy of Season of Six before it came out. I remember Dalvin was like, Dalvin is the owner of Death Trap Records, which is someone I'm very glad people learn about, because he's one of the biggest players in the Sacramento rap game that you'd never have known unless you pick up this book and read it. But Dalvin was like, after we finished Southbound, he was like, check this out. And he slipped me the tape, Season of Sick. And he was like, is this tight? And I was like, yeah, this is tight.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that was a good little moment. I have little memories like that. I tried to connect with people who hadn't, you know, had that spotlight on them and just learn some stories, you know. And it's like Fed was a good one. You know, because I lived through the Loaded era where him and Fed were, Lynch and Fed were going back and forth, you know, in the courtroom and arguing and bankruptcy. And I mostly got Lynch's side, you know, my whole life. And I knew Fed kind of, but, you know, I didn't. So it wasn't until I sat down, decided to do this book, and just get the story raw, you know, and just asking the questions. I got a lot of perspectives, you know, and I put both perspectives in the book, you know, and just played a neutral party. Let the people decide, let the universe decide.
And that's the right way to do it, too, man, because a lot of times you just get that one side, and that's it, so... you know, definitely hats off to you for doing that, man. Let's go to this song. Now, this here, this is a Triple Threat. This is Scratch Motion. This is the song you were talking about with Dr. Dre doing the scratches.
This is the first Sacramento rap song ever.
Wow.
Official form.
So this is 82, right?
Yes.
Man, amazing. Let's check out this song. It's about 6.5 minutes, and then we'll be right back with First Degree to DE. Everybody, please make sure to support, get the book, The History of Sacramento Rap, The Rise and Fall, 1982 to 2009. We'll be right back.
Why? a rival. I got more rhymes in the words than a Bible. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 or more. I'm talking about my rhymes, so I better say it for me. Ladies chill and other rappers fight. Whenever Captain Kane is on the mic, that's how I rock this place and rock you like a whiz. And I make the ladies say, oh, how sweet my ears. I said, you got the time. I got the rhyme to make other rappers want to resign. From your very first moment to your very last day, you never hear a rapper rap this way. It's with the number one fellas with the rapper degree. You hear the triple threat, a hollow 1, 2, 3. So yes, open the doors and step inside. We won't stop rapping till you're satisfied. So let's rock this place. The night's just begun. Cause I'm the triple threat known as number one. And that's why you keep stressing when my voice gets cut. Everybody listens up like I'm E.L. Clayton. Cause I gotta stop a rapping that will always fool. And I got that kind of voice to make it sound cool. Say, shh, ha, ha, ha. I say, shh, you just keep moving on. There is none left. And then I go down, light a scroll. The ladies don't let me, don't get me wrong. The boy, they go in the place, open up, you go to book, just turn. She makes more,
I like that.
The man, you relax and enjoy yourself. Cause then the ladies, it has just begun. With every last one of the rappers that's in the house, so that's the claim, it's the beat, the best. But with a 2-3, we came here tonight
just to put you to the dance.
You're not the round singer, it's the apple bar. My love is sweet and you can't deny it. I'm a heartbreaker, a boy, they people say, if it don't beat the lady, right, they guarantee to take a hardcore.
Document these times in their black dog bone. Black Dog Bone, a.k.a. Eric Cope, was part of San Francisco's post-punk scene of the 1980s. Cope was the lead singer in the group Glorious Den, which was signed to a punk label named Insight Records. During a few years, Cope emerged as Black Dog Bone. Black Dog was friendly, powerful, symbolic, and a deep thinker. He came to the U.S. from Africa and basically positioned himself as NorCal's rap gatekeeper with his magazine. Black Dog started Murder Dog magazine from nothing out of Vallejo, California. Even as Murder Dog took off, he and partner Mary Downs were broke. To make the machine work, the two wrote the text, the first issues, relying on wit to make the wheels turn. In time, their publication would span the globe. With blood, sweat, and tears, Black Dog Bone's Murder Dog magazine reigned as the number one NorCal rap magazine for two decades. Murder Dog Mag was the best spot to learn about this new genre of music being created. By teaming up with innovative writers like Scott Prez Beta, Brian Bartholomew, and more, Murder Dog Mag possessed that edge that pushed the boundary and made everybody watch rather read. The Murder Dog Mag brand expanded globally because he gave the people what they wanted, raw insight on NorCal and eventually Southern and Midwest rap gods. In the spirit of Murder Dog, Prez Beta has since gone on to document rap legends with his own radio show, The Murder Master Music Show, co-hosted by Matt Kay. The Murder Master Music Show is a weekly check-in with the nation's rap game veterans. The program is often quoted in mainstream urban news outlets and is respected worldwide. At the time of this book's publication, The Murder Master Music Show had aired almost 600 episodes. Learn about it. Huh?
600 episodes, man. It's hard to believe.
Wow.
Man. And I'm glad you've been part of the archive over the years. Many legendary moments have occurred when you've been on the show, man. So hats off to you, D.E.
I appreciate it. I'm glad to be part of it, too, because in 200, 300 years, none of these humans on Earth that's on Earth gonna be on Earth. But the Murder Master Music Show archives will still exist. You know, all this game will be
published. Like the fortunes of the Knights Templar.
That's right.
They will find us. They will uncover the truth. But, yeah, man, this book is really a damn good read. And I hope people go out and get it. Once again, The History of Sacramento Rap, The Rise and Fall, 1982 to 2009. You know what I'm saying? It's I know it's available on a physical copy because I got an autographed one in my hand right now. You know what I'm saying? Thank you, my brother. What about, are you doing the digital copies as well?
All right. So, History of Sacramento Rap. You could buy it physical copies if you're in the Sacramento area, Underground Books or Dental Records. If you're outside of the Sacramento area, Amazon Full Scale, Amazon and Barnes & Noble's websites. Okay. I did the audio book. I read the whole book. And it's on, what is it, audible.com? Yeah, audible.com, amazon.com. You can buy the Audible. It's only like $5.99, and I can read your history to you. Okay? And it's available, yes, digitally on your tablets and the Kindles and the Lippy Lambs and the Nippy Knots. So there's no excuse not to learn your history. Now, we've already agreed we're going to do a part two, so that's why I'm a little amped up right now. I get to come back You know, I look forward to this so much. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the 90s and the Lynch and the SIBO era. And I'm going to read from that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's the beautiful thing about this. It shows how all this stuff was created and merged together. And not only that, like I was talking about earlier, you did a great job of blending in all these people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's Two Live Crew mentioned in there, Mac Dre. So much history connected to Shaq Town.
That's right. Mac Dre lives here in Sac, and the majority of the Mac Dre music people know was made here in Sac.
Wow.
Fizz Entertainment was started in Sac. I talk about in the book, there was a manager, his name was Nooski. He was managing everybody. Mac Dre, Yuck Mouth, BG, everybody. SIBO. So, you know, it's important to highlight those people who have made this thing work. You, who did the energy, you know? People just tune into your show and it's on demand. If someone is almost 600, they don't know the energy it takes to just keep doing this. So, man, I have so much respect for you, man. Seriously.
Thank you, and likewise, brother. We're gonna keep going at it, man, because we got more decades to fulfill these legacies. And we're going to keep showcasing this talent. And definitely, man, you're 100% correct. Let's do that that part two to this interview, you know what I'm saying? Let everybody know about the 90s Sacramento rap. A lot of dope shit came out in the 90s. Shout out to my webmaster, Dome, over at UJustForLife.com. He's a huge Sacramento rap fan. He has probably a lot of the early tapes that came out. People really love that city, man, and you did a good thing by documenting it. And really, I hope people in other areas, you know, maybe Memphis, Kansas City, or Chicago, I hope they do the same thing for their area, too, because this history needs to be documented and told, man.
I was thinking about doing that. Eventually, being a stranger on a scene like Houston and just showing up and learning, spending a month just learning, you know, that's on the horizon. My next book will be a lyric book of all my lyrics, but this project right here is my heart and soul. You know, just learn your history. You know, learn your history. So it's 100 people involved. You know, hours of interviews I did, you know, stimulating information. And it's not just if you're a fan of Sacramento rap. If you're a fan of the hip-hop culture, you want to get your mind stimulated and learn from the past so you could be more in the future. Learn how folks was working together and everything was going great. But when folks start spreading apart, everything started to fall. It's a story about triumph and all the above. The history of Sacramento rap, out now.
Let me go get that. And, you know what I'm saying, we want to, shout out DC Ray. Hopefully we can have him on the next time, you know what I'm saying? And,
definitely.
You know, we'll definitely get to that real soon. Also, everybody make sure to tune in Thursday. Sin got the homie Lil Grimm out of Memphis. He's a, you know what I'm saying, he used to put out tapes back in the day over in the M-Town. You know, so we got some things coming, man. Oh, and tomorrow, if you guys are on YouTube, go to our YouTube channel. We're going to be premiering, it's called the MMS Files. We're going to premiere a video about the late, great Eazy-E. It's almost been 24 years since he passed. And doing this show, we've interviewed so many of his affiliates, his family, his friends, almost every one of them, I mean like 99% of them, does not believe the official story of how he died. They believe there was foul play. And we're going to discuss that tomorrow. We put together a little 30-minute video, you know what I'm saying? It's basically called What Happened to Eazy-E and Who is Responsible for His Death. So let's figure that out together, man. You can chop it up with me and Mac J. We'll be in the chat and watch the video. So tune in tomorrow. It'll be at Central, 7 p.m. on the West Coast on the Murder Master Music Show YouTube channel. And also, please, I urge you guys, go out and get this book, whether it be physical copy or digital, The History of Sacramento Rap, The Rise and Fall, 1982 to 2009. Let me, I got it right all night, and I fuck up again, but it's all good. It's all good.
We love you, Class B. It's your world.
Much love and respect to you, brother. We'll see you real soon. And to get out of here, you know what I'm saying, let's just hit him with a little bit of this.
There was a magic. He fought for what's right. All his might led the fight.
The cost to be boss, atrocities that most can handle. But that's why you boss, that's why you brought my blamble on my blamble. That and rap scandal. Every man's got his battle, good versus evil. Every woman's got insane versus sane. Black bang, demands what we fighting for. Spit facts and enlighten more. Leave hacks and invite more. Lead the journey that the mighty go. That's why we write with more. Picked up like a hero from that po-po-po. My Facebook life fluctuate.
It's a thin line between love and hate.
Speak my mind, enjoy my rant. The law's written, you cannot recant. For good, get some days so out of control. Wish I got my wood. I'm paid from the people, feeling prime. Yet I'm paid from super packs, feeling slimy. Social experience, need randoms more. Yet I'm not a media whore. You put your trust in the slimes, been rewarded. You now have the power to change world, and none can thwart it. My lyrics, how you looking around to see if anyone else heard the sound that's going down? I'm banned from everything, banned from the kitchen sink, banned from emotions, banned from Strange Music Inc. The clan that I'm ran, known for hard rock stand. The clique that I'm with, carry a bitch stick. Has a car filled with cinnamon. Then we gone, like your imagination, a bigger man. Then rap about filth, then call him a pimp. I rap about the struggle, then want me with a muzzle. That's the way things go, man. You done banged up like a wig. Ever in my tail. Black girls, white girls, and all in twain. Clack that Fahrenheit if we deem. Ripping that worldwide team. More sharp than a scene. Ain't into your Twittergram or Instachat. I'm out seeking justice with bats and aristocrats. Black fun died for rights, just civil. So them complicate the language for law book rhythm. Book rhythm. Much to my chagrin. But we doing it. Much to my grin. The texture of my lecture is quite complex. The being that you're seeing is on search for meaning. Beta on a beat, celebration to hook. We collab in a lab, verb off a slab. We up and down the toast like the ocean. Leaving with purpose, popping the motion. In the crew, everybody got roles. Mine, but the mic, story told. Mine's building the stage, shit for godly scrolls. Godly scrolls. Hate everything I can't control.
Black men said we need you out
name.